Brexit wasn't merely a 2016 referendum, it was the culmination of centuries of British exceptionalism colliding with European integration. While continental Europeans built deep institutions after experiencing devastating wartime losses, France lost 1.5% of its population in World War II, Germany a staggering 9%, Britain's relatively lighter suffering, 0.7% population loss, left it with a fundamentally different perspective. For Europeans, integration meant survival. For Britain, protected by the Channel and clinging to imperial dreams, it seemed optional. This fundamental disconnect explains why Franco-German reconciliation became the cornerstone of European unity while Britain remained skeptical. As French politician Maurice Faure bluntly stated in 1957, only America and Russia were truly great powers, a reality Britain wasn't yet ready to accept. Britain's hesitation toward Europe was deeply rooted in its imperial past. As the first industrial nation, Britain had become dependent on imported food and raw materials paid for with manufactured exports. This created a nation requiring naval supremacy to protect vital supply lines and a political divide between agricultural interests and manufacturing classes. The Conservative Party particularly cherished the settler colonies of Australia, Canada, and New Zealand. By 1932, Britain had established an imperial preference system, a network of preferential tariffs that successfully increased intra-empire trade. This Commonwealth provided Britain with a model of international cooperation without formal supranational institutions where Britain naturally maintained significant influence. Why surrender sovereignty to European institutions when you could lead a global commonwealth? This imperial mindset would profoundly shape British attitudes toward European integration for decades. Ironically, Britain initially took a leading role in post-war European cooperation. Winston Churchill called for a United States of Europe in 1947, positioning Britain at the center of three interlinked circles: the Commonwealth, the English-speaking world, and a united Europe. By 1950, Britain was a founding member of several key European organizations. The turning point came when Britain declined to join the European Coal and Steel Community, proposed by French Foreign Minister Robert Schuman in May 1950. Later, during the Messina process that created the European Economic Community, Britain participated briefly before withdrawing. The fundamental difference was structural. Britain wanted a free trade area where members eliminate tariffs while maintaining independent trade policies, whereas Europeans created a customs union with a common external tariff. Britain confidently presented Plan G as an alternative, believing UK cooperation would be welcomed on their terms. This confidence proved misplaced. After France vetoed the proposal, Britain instead established the European Free Trade Association with six other countries in 1960, a pale shadow of the dynamic EEC. By 1961, economic reality forced a reversal. Prime Minister Harold Macmillan applied for EEC membership. Three factors drove this: increased EEC trade over Britain's free trade group, declining Commonwealth trade, and the EEC's economic boom highlighting British underperformance. Britain's diminished international standing meant maintaining U.S. relations increasingly required joining the common market. Macmillan's diary revealed his fear of being caught between a hostile America and a powerful empire of Charlemagne under French and German control. This prompted his grim choice, despite potential sacrifices to British agriculture and Commonwealth ties. French President Charles de Gaulle vetoed Britain's application in 1963 and 1967, fearing diminished French influence and Britain acting as an American Trojan horse. Britain finally joined in 1973, with a 1975 referendum resulting in a 2-1 rejection of what we now call Brexit. The Yes campaign portrayed opponents as extremists, noting both the IRA and Soviet Union opposed membership. The matter seemed settled, yet 40 years later, Britain would vote to leave. Britain joined the EC just as the post-war economic golden age ended. The 1973 oil shock caused immediate problems, and European growth slowed permanently as catch-up opportunities disappeared. Britain suffered severely, with inflation averaging 15.4% between 1973-1980 compared to Germany's 4.9%, eventually requiring an emergency IMF loan in 1976. Despite her distrust of Germans and continental political traditions, Margaret Thatcher became an enthusiastic supporter of the single market program, the most significant European integration since the 1950s. The 1985 Cockfield White Paper identified 297 barriers to eliminate by 1992, introducing qualified majority voting. Thatcher's government backed these changes as creating Thatcherism on a European scale, with Hugo Young noting, "Everyone in the Thatcher cabinet backed it, storing up trouble for the day when it became an inconvenient memory." The Irish border question, overlooked during the 2016 referendum, later became central to Brexit. While this border had been an international frontier since 1923, the 1998 Good Friday Agreement, combined with EU membership, had made it virtually invisible. The EU didn't solve the Northern Irish conflict alone, but it normalized UK-Ireland relations and eliminated border controls. EU membership transformed Ireland's economy by reducing British dependence, with exports to Britain dropping from 61% in 1972 to just 14% by 2015. The 1992 single market propelled Ireland to remarkable economic success in the 1990s, stemming from two key factors: political independence, providing policy flexibility, and EU membership, ensuring market access. By the mid-1990s, British politics had reversed on European integration. Labour became pro-European, while the Conservative Party moved in the opposite direction. The 2004 EU enlargement had significant consequences when Britain, unlike most existing members, allowed immediate free movement from new member states, triggering large-scale Eastern European immigration with profound political effects. In the 2016 referendum, the Leave campaign used controversial tactics, from Leave.eu's poster showing Syrian refugees to Vote Leave's false claim about sending $350 million a week to the EU. On June 23, 2016, the UK voted to leave by 51.9% to 48.1%, with Scotland, Northern Ireland, Gibraltar, and London voting Remain, while the rest of England and Wales voted Leave. What explains Brexit? While Europe faced Eurozone stagnation and refugee crises in 2015-16, Britain wasn't directly affected by either. Yet Brexiteers effectively portrayed the EU as incompetent and crisis-ridden. Globalization's unequal benefits were decisive. Areas with low pay, high unemployment, manufacturing traditions, lower skilled workers, and recent Eastern European migration favored Leave. Cameron and Osborne's austerity program cut government support when communities needed it most. Studies show austerity influenced the Brexit vote more than immigration. A modest reduction might have changed the outcome. Brexit negotiations exposed a fundamental contradiction. Britain wanted to restrict EU immigration and escape regulations while maintaining frictionless trade. This cakeism ignored economic realities facing industries dependent on just-in-time supply chains. The Irish border presented a unique challenge, with security officials warning that any physical infrastructure would become targets for dissident Republicans. Brexit revealed deep contradictions in British politics. A desire to take back control while maintaining frictionless trade, to assert sovereignty while avoiding a hard Irish border, to be both European and exceptional. These contradictions, rooted in centuries of history, would not easily resolve. The Brexit story demonstrates how nations, like individuals, can be trapped between competing identities, with history's shadows determining our future as much as present choices.